Now that we have seen how a naive approach to the construction of an automaton might look like, we might now chase for some optimizations of the whole approach. So what we can think of is, well, maybe let's be inspired by the run through our example here. So from the example, we see a few things. Well, what we probably can't get rid of is like the consummation edges at the leaves of the automaton. So these are necessary, otherwise we can just not consummate the same input as we would have done before we'd done any optimization. So those will probably have to stay. The question is, can we optimize maybe in these navigation parts of the automaton, considering that, for example, here we do 1, 2, 3 steps, or have to pass 3 edges on our way from the start to the first match of the run of this automaton. And well, that might be something to consider. So in order to be a little bit quicker, we would have to instead do this whole jump either in one go, or even be a little bit more aggressive and just say, well, let's just start execution at that particular point for that particular input. So that would mean that you would have to know, in order to do this optimization, you would have to know at the beginning of some sub-expression what the first consummating edge could be that you meet when you descend down that part of the automaton. So you would need some higher intelligence to tell you that those would be the first entry points to consummating edges that can be reached when going down this automaton chain, so that you can say that you can reach either one of them, or even be more aggressive and say this one and this one is just plain entry points of the whole automaton. So this is one optimization that you can be after. The next one would be to say, well, let's say this one we can't get rid of. This one we also need in order to consummate our input. So what we could get rid of is maybe going all the navigation through this path, or even the navigation here. So there's a lot of epsilon transitions involved in there that maybe we can compress into just a single one, or even remove altogether. So in order to do such a thing, we would need information at the end of some consummating edge. We would need further intelligence about the entry points of other consummating edges that we can reach in our automaton. So we would need a direct pointer from here to this one, or from here to this one. If we had this information, we could directly transition to the corresponding edges, or to the corresponding states, or even merge the states. So that would be a thing that would remove a lot of transitions in there. So is there any remaining optimization potential? Well, yes, there is. Consider, for example, this node over here. Here we know that we can't reach any consuming edge anymore. Instead, what we will reach is this final state at the top, and also we need three edges to be passed on the way there, the epsilon transitions. And we, in a similar fashion as before, if we know that the state there is one that can only go to the exit anymore, we can just mark it as a final state and don't do these transitions at all. So this will give rise to a whole lot of information necessary in order to perform these optimizations. So let's have a look at the final discussion of the naive Berisethi approach. So we said that there is a lot of transitions that just navigate through the expression without doing any meaningful stuff apart from transfer and control. And they are a large part of the resulting automaton to be a non-deterministic automaton, which is, well, has some consequences that we'll see later on. So our strategy for a more sophisticated version now directly tackles this and works by trying to avoid the generation of these navigational epsilon transitions. And you have also already seen me sketch the way that we want to achieve that. We need some necessary information, and this information we now make a little bit more formal. So we need information that we call, that we give names for. So there's the first attribute which would correspond to this first optimization idea that we had by being able to tell for a particular node R which read states may be reached first when ascending into R. So this, the first read states reached are the ones that baptize that kind of attribute. So this is the information that tells us what reading states are reached first. Okay? Then there's the next attribute that's conveniently called next. This will consist in like the information that we had for that was necessary for our second idea of optimizations, connecting reading edges with each other. And for that, what we needed to know was that when we have done a consummation of input, so conceptually at the exit point of a reading edge, so we are conceptually after having read something for some expression R, we need information about the next read state that can be reached first after we have left this R. So read states that may be reached immediately after the traversal, the successful traversal of this R thing. And this is what we consider this next attribute. Next one in the row is the last attribute, and this one will yield us the necessary information for our third optimization idea, which is like we need to be able to decide which states we're gonna mark as final states. For that, we are interested in the read states of a particular sub-expression that may be reached last when descending into a particular sub-expression. So this is why we call that the last attribute. And if I call these things attributes, this is usually considered to be a set of leaves of the automaton, and these leaves are denominated by their names, which are like numbers. So this is sets of numbers that we're talking about. The next one is that we is more of a technical reason. This is the empty attribute. This is a helper attribute that we need in order to compute all the other attributes later on. This is an attribute that tells us whether the sub-expression that we currently focus on is able to consume the empty string, and if that is the case, then the empty attribute is going to evaluate to true, and if it cannot consume the empty string, this is just false. So the idea is now to come up with all these informations beforehand by doing a pre-computation on the syntax tree via a depth first search. So this is what is mentioned here. We want to pre-compute all these attributes during depth first search. So let's have a look at how that might work. Starting with a very easy one, and not to keep you guessing, the one that we're going to start with is the empty one. So the empty attribute is now in our focus. Empty, just as a reminder, is defined as evaluating to true if and only if the empty string is in the semantics of the sub-expression that we are talking about. So this means that if we take a look at the set of words that are expressed by this regular expression, is the empty string an element of that or not? Which means that, well, this it suffices that this regular expression might evaluate to the empty string, or may evaluate to the empty string. So this is a may attribute. If it does not necessarily mean that all that this regular expression corresponds to is the empty string, but it's sufficient that just one of the possibilities that how this regular expression evaluates is the empty string. So let's focus on how to perform this computation of this attribute. So, where do we start in such a thing? Well, let's maybe pick the low-hanging fruits first. So there's a few nodes in here for which we can pretty easily already tell that the empty attribute is true or false. So to let you think a little bit. Well, by now you should come to a conclusion. There's, for example, this one here. This is a thing that will definitely always read A. So, empty attribute for this one is probably false. Yeah? What are other candidates for that? Well, usually all the other leaves are nodes for which we can pretty easily directly tell the value that they should that the empty attribute should have, and it's always false since each and every of them is labeled with a concrete input character. Let's say we would have an empty string as a child in this representation. This would be true. However, I think this is a thing that maybe a few of these things have that, but not here. Well, anyway, these are like the low-hanging fruits. Let's have a look. With that being done, can we maybe find out a little bit more about the rest of the thing? Well, for example, if we have both of the attributes of the children of a particular subtree already having an empty attribute evaluated. Can we maybe also say something about this sub-expression then? For example, look at this one here. So we have an alternating sub-expression. Both of the children say, well, they are never empty. So if they are never empty, is the alternation between both ever empty? No. So, false for this one. Yeah. In the same way, we can go through this other thing over here and say, well, if both children never evaluate to empty, also this one will never evaluate to empty. Yeah? So this has now given us even more information for our tree. So what remains open is, for example, this and this one here. Both of them have their children fully attributed so far. So let's maybe start with the clean star. Well, clean star, can that have can that produce the empty string if its child expression never does? Well, it actually doesn't really care about the child expression in clean star. Remember, you have this transition that goes directly over there. So with this one, we can just skip our input and just match nothing at all. So in that case, for example, we have an empty string, not necessarily, but it may match the empty string. This is already enough to say that this potentially may be empty. For the concatenation, let's have a look at how that works out. Well, we have the first child, which never produces empty, and well, this is already enough to say, well, if that never produces empty, then we definitely don't produce empty words from there. And well, then we only have the last one remaining, which is, oh, maybe first remove this one. If we focus on this one now, this is a concatenation again. Here we have the situation that the left-hand side child may be empty. If that is the case, it doesn't suffice to just look at the left-hand side child. Then we also need to consider the right-hand child, whether it also may be empty. If that would be the case, then the whole thing would also evaluate to empty. But in our case, this is not empty. So all in all, we get false here as the thing. So with that, we have seen that we can construct all these empty attributes just starting from the leaves of a tree, inferring the attributes of the whole rest. Yeah, so that is the way that this would work out. So in an implementation, what we would do then is we would do depth first search as our tool of choice. So that is what we have already announced a little bit earlier on. And in order to go through a tree from the leaves in direction to the root, what we need to do is we need to hook into the depth first search in what we call the post-order traversal. So we would trigger our callbacks always when we have done the visitation of that particular node. So before we trigger our callback, we would visit all the children. If you are at leaves, well, we would immediately call the callback. And if you do parents, we would have to visit all the children first. And if we do that, we will get a visitation that corresponds to a run that visits the children before their respective parents. And with that, we would have callbacks where we can just do these local evaluations of our attributes based on the children's attributes infer a value for the parent's attribute that will be then in the next callback be used for further evaluation of attributes. So, in order to specify that formally, what we can do is we can do a case distinction and say that for leaves, we will find that the empty attribute can be determined by looking at the label of the leaf and comparing that to empty. And in case that is the case, then empty is true, otherwise it's false. For the intermediate nodes, we also do case distinctions then based on the identity of this of the root of the focused sub-expression. And yeah, so the empty attribute for the sub-expression that is dominated by the pipe is, well, you have seen this is depending on whether both of the child expressions are empty. So this is like can be matched in Boolean expression terms with the OR operation. We've also seen that for concatenation we rely on both of them to be empty. So this is matching the AND operator on the Boolean side. For clean star, we have said, well, in case that this doesn't depend on the attribute of the child, it's just constantly evaluating to true because it may always just match empty, and the same goes for question mark operator. So this is the this is like what we need to provide to the DFS in order to be able to compute all these empty attributes. So, in a similar fashion as we have done that now for the empty attribute, let's see whether we can do a similar thing to the other attributes that we need to infer. So, what was another attribute to think about? Well, there was the may set of first reached read states. So the set of read states that may be reached from the entry point of a regular expression just via sequences of epsilon transitions. And it's a set since this can be non-deterministic and you might go either branch. So this is not just a singular value, but it's a set. So what would be an example? Well, we can have a look at our well-known tree here and decide what to do with that. So what would be easy parts to start with? Well, similar to the empty set, we can just focus at, for example, the leaves in the beginning. So let's see, what would be like the first attribute for this one? That would be the may set of read states that may be reached from the entry of that thing via sequences of epsilon transitions, also possibly the empty sequence of epsilon transitions. So for this thing, well, there is not so many navigation going on in there, and there's also not so many read states in this sub-expression here. Particularly, there's only one read state, which is the leaf itself. And this this can be reached just from the entry of this sub-expression directly without any epsilon transitions at all, so zero sequence of epsilon transitions. So this may set of first read states reached just consists of the state itself. Yeah. And in a similar fashion, we can do all the others. and see that the first sets of those are always just the leaves themselves. So these are low-hanging fruits again. Now let's maybe have a look at how we can infer the first attribute for inner nodes. So let's focus on, for example, this subtree. There we have, well, what does it say? The set of read states that may be reached from the entry point of the sub-expression via sequences of epsilon transitions. So maybe remember back to our wiring of the thing, where do the empty transitions go to? Here and here. So for that, this would then mean that we reach two leaves. Leaves are the ones that we are interested in. So we have to fill our first set with leaf 3 and leaf 4. Similarly, we would do that for the other side. There's also an alternation. This time we would do something like 0 and 1 as our first sets. Okay? So this is what we get for that. Then, with that, we have already passed another level and have reached two new sub-expressions for which all the children are already evaluated. Let's concentrate on this one first. So, what would be the first reached read states of the of the clean star, for example? Well, it has those two edges. So the things that might be reached first usually come from the left edge reaching this part. And everything that can be reached first is the things that the node beyond reaches first. So what we can do here is we can just copy the first set from beyond over here. Yeah. And, oh, yeah. So let's keep that there. This is 0 or 1. How about the concatenation? The concatenation may reach first. Well, for that we have to have a look at the epsilon transitions. And the epsilon transitions from the start of that thing always go there. They don't go there directly, the only thing that this thing may reach first is 2, then. So that's what we're gonna get here. So now there's just one remaining, which is this one here. Yeah, for that one we have, again, concatenation. Epsilon edge goes over there. So, what would you say? It's just first reaching 0 and 1, right? Well, in principle, you're right. However, I want to draw your attention to this helper attribute here that says this sub-expression may also just evaluate to the empty string. In that case, the edge here would never really meet any read state and instead return back to the exit node without having reached anything that reads. In that case, this we have only passed epsilon edges. So if we go this other epsilon edge that is specified locally for that part of the automaton, then we could also reach everything that is met first by the right-hand side child, which means that in case that the empty attribute for the left child is true, we will also have to incorporate the first set of the right-hand side child into our equations and obtain 0, 1, and 2 for the whole thing, like this. Okay? So, again, to make that more formal, that was a similar computation pattern as we had a little bit earlier for the empty attribute. Again, this was a depth-first search. And since we visited children before parents, this is just a post-order traversal of the whole tree. So the low-hanging fruits were our leaves, which we could just initialize. So the leaves, we would just be able to decide by looking at the label whether the label is the empty string or not. If it's not the empty string, then we would take the identifying number that we gave to this thing as a member of the first set of that leaf. Yeah, that's what we have done in the first part. Then we're gonna do a case distinction between all the remaining inner nodes. So let's have a look at how they were built up. So there was the alternation. For the alternation, we said, well, we could meet either of them, so we need to join the May first sets. Yeah. Then we had the clean star, the repetition, which would just be the first set of the child. First set of this question mark thing would also be just the first set of the child. And then the more interesting part, the most interesting part, is the one where we would have to determine the first attribute for the concatenation operation dot. So R1 dot R2 is defined as, well, this we said was depending on a helper attribute, particularly the empty attribute. And even more particular, not the empty attribute of the complete expression, but on the empty attribute of the left-hand side child. Yeah. So depending on whether the left-hand side child may be empty or not, we have to do different things in order to compute the first set. So let's say that the left-hand side child is never empty. This would mean that the attribute is false. Then we could just be satisfied with taking over the May 1st set of the left child. However, in case that the left-hand side child actually may be zero, may be empty, then we have a situation that we may not meet any consuming edge by going through the left-hand side automaton. Thus, we have to have a look at the first set of the right-hand side tree. So for that, we have to do the union of both first sets. Yeah? Okay. The next attribute to have a look at would be the next read states, the ones that do connect read or consuming edges between each other. So the main set of next read states is defined as the set of read states reached after having exited R. It may be reached next via sequences of epsilon transitions. Yeah, so we again focus on the consuming transitions and have a look at which of them we can reach via epsilon transitions, starting from exit points of certain sub-expressions, reaching entry points of consummation edges possibly. So, well, let's have a look at what to do here. We have again our example that we know already, annotated with all the information that we have already provided so far. The first attribute in red, the empty attribute in pink. So now we're going to look at the next set, which the next attribute, which is again a set of numbers, the numbers representing identifiers for the leaves. So what would be easy attributes, low hanging fruits to pick first? Is it like, for example, this one here? And this one here? Not so sure about that. You would have to go already through a lot of thinking in order to be able to tell for these things what the next reached consummation edges really look like. So, a little bit different this time. One that actually is the case. So, this time, the most easy one to tell is probably this one here. So, when we have a look at the exit spot of that thing, which is what we have to take into account for the next attribute, well, if we are already here, we'll probably not do any read sequence at all anymore. So, the next read states attribute of that thing is probably just empty set. Yeah, when we are here, we have already exited the whole expression, so we won't reach any reading thing anymore. How about this one? This one is also to be considered with respect to the exit node. The only thing that is reached via epsilon transitions from there is its parent's exit node, which is already not connected to any reading transition anymore. Well, in that case, empty set. For this one, similar. We have exit node, which just reaches no consuming edge anymore. So this is also empty set. And we can go even deeper into the tree with those two children. They also have empty set as their next things. So these are like the low-hanging fruits in that system. For those, we can already tell how their next sets look like. So, from there on, what else can we infer? We have already seen that since this is an attribute that depends on the exit point of a particular sub-expression, the parents, the presence of the evaluation of the parents attribute is very important in order to be able to tell something about this thing. So, let's have a look, for example, at this thing here. So, and this is in context of the concatenation. So, in context of the concatenation, the next attribute as a may set of the next read states of that thing. How might that look like? Well, this does epsilon transition to that place over there. So, what can we tell about what the next read states of the entry node of this thing, because this is what we connect to, actually are. Well, you might remember that we have already thought about that a little bit by determining the actual first set of the write sub-expression. So, in the context of a concatenation, in order to determine the next attribute for the left child, we might have a look at the first set of the right child, and there we can directly read whatever we can reach next. So, this is what we see being added here. So 3, 4, this directly corresponds to the first set of the right child here, and we also see that since we have another concatenation node here, we have also determined the next attribute for the left child depending on the value of the first attribute of the right child. Now we have another sub-expression for which we have the next attribute being present for the parent. So we might think about whether we can determine the next set for the child here. So let's have a look. Here we are in the context of arbitrary repetition. So the next states when we are at the exit point of the child, when we do absent transitions, can be, well, absent transitions are those. So when those are the epsilon transitions, we have two alternatives to choose from. So for one, we have the next attribute of the parent, which gives us whatever will be reached when we leave this sub-expression from there, which would be perfectly fine to take over into our part. So this would be, for example, 2 that would be relevant for us. The other thing that we reach is the entry point of our node itself, and for that we have the first set to take into account. So there's this one here. And there we get 0 and 1 into the equation, so it's 0 and 1 out of that. Okay, so there's that. With that, we can then just do the last remaining bottom ones, which is just plain, that's alternation. And for alternation, we get that, well, whatever the next symbol of the parent is also the next consuming edge for the child. So we just overtake this 0, 1, 2. So for that, we now have a little bit of a different proceeding than before. Again, we do TFS search, but now we have to visit parents before children. So what we will do in that case is probably a little bit different. This will be just pre-order traversal. This is now hooking into the TFS whenever we are about to visit the children. So we haven't visited the children before. Instead, we only have visited the parent. And with the information from the parent, we will determine the attribute evaluation for the child before we descend into that. So this corresponds to our scheme from going from top to bottom here. So what was the easy thing to do first? Well, the low-hanging fruit was the next attribute for the whole regular expression, which would be just, well, the empty set, since there's nothing reached from the exit point of the complete expression. And apart from that, again, it's just context dependent on the root of the current subtree. So there is what we have said is there is the alternation. For alternation, it's pretty easy. There we determine the left child's next attribute by looking at the parent's attribute. And for R2, the right-hand side child, we do the same thing, we just copy the next of the parent. Yeah? We also had the repetition pattern, where we have the child's next attribute, which is determined by looking at the next attribute of the parent as well as the first attribute of itself. Remember, that was two ways that we could go, either back to the top or again through the child's expression. And for the question mark thing, which would do everything similar to the repetition, except for the actual real repetition, is, well, we just copy the next attribute from the parent to the child. Yeah? That just leaves us with the most complicated pattern on the slide, which is this concatenation, R1 concatenated to R2. And there we have the situation that one of the attributes is easy. That is just the attribute of the right-hand side node. This is just taken from the next of the parent, since, well, in concatenation, we are already at the rightmost side of it all, and there is nothing else that can come after this R2's matched things, except for everything that's connected somehow through the parent. So we just take the next attribute from the parent for that. It's a little bit more difficult for the left-hand side child, since now there is potentially several paths to take in order to continue, depending on its right-hand side sibling. So what we do is we look at the right-hand side sibling's empty attribute in case the right-hand side sibling is not marked as being empty. This evaluates to false. And if that doesn't evaluate to empty, well, then all we will be able to reach is the first attribute of R2. And we can just take that as our next attribute. However, in case that the right-hand side sibling may evaluate to the empty string, then, well, we might find a chain of epsilon transition that completely passes the whole automaton of the right-hand side sub-expression and thus connects back to the parent's next, and that's what we're seeing for the other part here. So there's R2's first set that is taken into account, as well as R's next set. Okay? Good. So finally, there is the last attribute, which is the last. It was called last by itself. So this one again is a little bit more easy and pretty similar to what we have already done for the first set. So This is again, let's maybe read it first. The set of read states which may be reached last during the traversal of R connected to the root via epsilon transitions only. So this is just the mirror thing to the first attribute, just going to the right and reading the last states first, and considering the last read states instead of the first read states. So again, as we have done for the first set, we can just start with low-hanging fruits being the leaves, and for leaves again, for the last attribute, this is just the leaves identifier itself. So that's what we see annotated here. Now it's a little bit more interesting. What are last sets for our different operators? So for the alternation, it's pretty similar as it has been to the first set. This would be just like any of those. So, oh, that's already all of them. Okay, yeah, so this is just the union of the children, same here. So this is nothing too spectacular. Then we might be interested in the last set of the clean star, the repetition, which is just, well, a direct copy of its child's last set. So this is also just done like this. Then, considering that we have those two children already evaluated, what would be the last attribute for the concatenation? Well, this is mirroring pretty much what the first set does. So it potentially copies its right-hand side's last attribute, except for the case when the right-hand side might evaluate to the empty string. In that case, it would also incorporate the left-hand side's last set. So in our case, we have false for empty of the right child, so we just take the right-hand side's last set. And with that, we can just focus on the last remaining open attribute, which is the parents attribute, which is 3-4. And for this one, we have both of them present. The right-hand side is not empty, so we just copy the right-hand side attribute. So this boils down in a formal specification pretty similar to the first set, which is just DFS in post-order traversal. For leaves, we can directly decide how it also looks by just evaluating the little attribute that tells us about the symbol to be matched or even empty string. Apart from that, we just do what we have done in our example. So for repetition, we just copy. For question mark, we just copy. For alternation, we copy both of the children's attributes and do the union of them. And the only little bit more complicated thing is the concatenation, for which we have to think about whether the right-hand side sibling's empty is true or not. If it's not true, then we can simply copy the right-hand side's last attribute. Otherwise, we have to take into account both of them and do the union of them. In a formal construction, we would say that the automaton is created based on the syntax tree's new attributes now, instead of this naive construction that we had before. So what we get is that the states of the automaton are now the entry state of the complete regular expression, that is dot E, together with the exit state of all the leaves that are not epsilon, Yeah, so this is how we come to n plus 1 many states, with n being the number of characters in the regular expression. Yeah? Okay. The start state, as you have already have said, is this dot e. Final states, well, for final states we'll have to inspect our last attribute for the global root node. So that's last e, at least if the complete automaton can not evaluate to empty string. If it can read empty string, then, well, we also have to take into account that the start state might be a final state, so that it can also accept the empty word, the empty string. In case of transitions, the only transitions that are left are now actual consuming transitions. So all of the transitions have something to read in here. So what are now valid transitions? Well, we said that we would do optimizations for chains of absent transitions from the top of the old naive automaton to the first reading edge that we find, and this is what gives us the first kind of transitions. So this is transitions that emanate from our global start state and reach some leaf where the label of the leaf to be reached is within the first set of our global root node. And those edges we then take the label from and put it as the consuming character in the transition. Yeah, so this is the first kind of transition that reaches the bottom level starting from the topmost starting state. The other kind of transitions that we get is transitions between consuming edges. So those two, and they determine where to put transitions by looking at next attributes of leaves and taking the identifiers that you find there as the target nodes and the identifier of the leaf you started with as the starting node, and just label the whole transition with the label that you take from your target and put it in there. And with that, you're done. So, yeah, that gives for the example that we have an automaton that looks like this. So it has n plus 1 many states and doesn't have any epsilon transitions anymore because we just compressed all the chains of epsilon transitions into the final transition that they would accumulate to. So this is what we then call the Berisetti construction for the Kluskov automaton. Can be used for content models in XML or for particularly this regular expression to automaton construction, and it gives pretty nice things. However, this might have been not the automaton that we had in mind, but more about that in the next module.